Can be seated, and please turn in your Bibles to Genesis 39:1. Last week we covered chapter 37-38, where Joseph's half-brothers, Joseph was one of the sons of Jacob. Jacob had 12 sons who became the 12 tribes of Israel, who became the Jewish people. And one of those sons, the 11th son, was Joseph. And he was hated by 10 of his other brothers that were older than him, because his dad had favor on Joseph, because Joseph, we can tell, is a lover of God. We're going to continue. In fact, he's one of the biggest lovers of God in the Bible. In fact, you don't even really see a time. You know, Abraham, you can tell, see where he messed up. You can see where Isaac messed up, Jacob messed up. As far as Joseph goes, there's not really a record of him actually doing something sinful against God, lying to people, deceiving people. He is a type of Jesus in the fact that he becomes the Savior of Gentiles and Jews. We're going to see he really is a type. We're going to see that in our study next week even better. And he just maintains an incredibly godly attitude despite horrible hardship. His brothers wanting to kill him, changing their mind, and instead of killing him, selling him into slavery into Egypt. That's bad enough to live a life of bitterness, wouldn't you think? Yeah, if you had your family turning against you just because your dad's favorite, and because you have some dreams that says they're going to bow down to you, and they hate you, and they want to kill you, and they sell you into slavery, ruin your life, it'd be a good reason to get bitter. But we're going to see he doesn't. And then we saw that Judah went off with the Canaanites for a while, ended up having a wife, having some children, and actually, you know, long story, ending up having two children by what he thought was a prostitute, but it was actually his daughter-in-law. And so then he has a child, Perez, that becomes a descendant of Judah, that's in the line to Jesus. And so this week we're going to get back to Joseph and see what happens to him after he's been sold into slavery in Egypt. And the attacks continue. Every time you listen to a TV preacher that says, if you become a Christian, your life is going to be wonderful and better, just think of Joseph. And think of Joseph, think of Paul, think of Jesus, you know, think of all the people in New Testament, think of all the people that were sent to the lions and crucified and tortured and everything else. It's just, I mean, they're lying to us. And bad things can happen in your life. So why do we study the Bible? We can see from the main message is the Lord was with Joseph. Because why? Because Joseph was with Jesus. And that didn't mean that his life turned out wonderful. He was horribly oppressed by his own family. He was lied about today by a woman that was after him, we're going to find out. He was then betrayed by somebody in jail that was supposed to tell a good report to the Pharaoh to get him out of jail. I mean, all these things that he was betrayed, he had every reason in the world to say, I'm done, I'm bitter, I'm going to go through the rest of my life bitter. But he wasn't, and that's our mission today, is to see from the Word of God, God save me from bitterness. Because the verse, Romans 8:28, that was alluded to by Scott, all things work out together for those that love God and are called according to His purpose. If I understand that God is in charge of my life, now I've given my life to Him. I love Him because He first loved me. And then if something is happening in my life, whether it's physical, you know, get a ruptured disc in my neck and go paralyzed or whatever, family-wise, financially, whatever it else it is, God has promised me that somehow it's working out together for good if I'm loving Him and trusting in Him and what He's doing. And I can lay apart all bitterness and problems of life and just live for Him. And so that's what the Holy Spirit, may it bring to remembrance whenever you're being poorly treated and, Lord, why is this happening? Just think, because of Joseph. You know, learn from Joseph. Who's better to learn about than Joseph? Jesus, the perfect Son of God, who suffered at the hands of the men He created and came to die for. And yet He said, God, Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And help us to have that attitude. So Genesis 39:1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt after he was sold by his brothers to some traveling Midianites. Been taken down to Egypt. And Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites, Midianites, who had taken him down there. So We have to understand Potiphar is, he's an officer of Pharaoh. He's a bigwig. And so he must have, there's slave trading was going on through all of antiquity. You know, a whole load of slaves comes before him and he's going to be, you know, reading between the lines. He's powerful. He's rich. He can have the pick of the crop. And he picked Joseph. Joseph, he must have seen as this man is going to be a good slave. And he chose Joseph. And we know later on, he knew he was a Hebrew too. And if you go back to Abraham, who would have certainly, there would have still been intelligence within the Egyptians because Abraham was with them, that, you know, that Abraham, man, God took care of him. And God miraculously protected his wife when Abraham was saying, my wife's my sister, and, you know, went to Pharaoh and all the stuff that we've covered in the past. And, how do we get a Hebrew? The Hebrews are all flocked together up there in the promised land. Well, you know, I wonder if Joseph, it doesn't say, but I wonder if Joseph said, how did you get separated from your Hebrew family up there in Shechem? Well, my brothers wanted to kill me, but they decided to sell me, and so here I am. So, but they know he's a Hebrew. He's a witness people. And this is so important. Remember, you're, in a sense, a Hebrew. You're adopted into the family of God. And you're a witness person. And we're going to see that he stays true to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and his father Jacob, despite great hardship, and therefore remains a witness that gets used in the most incredible way to save the Egyptians and to save the Jews. And he had every opportunity to blow his witness in a couple different ways we're going to see today. And we have an opportunity to blow our witness. All we have to do is go after the lust of the flesh and go along with the way the world is, and then all of a sudden we lose our witness. So they know who he is. And Joseph stays true to who he is. As we see in verse 2, the Lord was with Joseph. Why? We see Joseph was with the Lord. And he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he, Joseph, did to prosper. Everything Joseph did in taking care of this man's goods brought prosperity to Potiphar and to his household in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 9:16. A quick little verse I'd like to share as a parallel passage. So at first, you know, he's just a slave. Okay, slave, take care of this. Wow, he did a good job. Okay, slave, take care of that. Wow, he did another good job. Well, why don't you, the more a slave does a good job for the master, the more the master wants to give him because he's a slave. And so then all of a sudden he goes, man, you got it all. I'm just going to enjoy playing games and eating and whatever else. You take care of everything. That's what he ends up doing. Because he can so trust Joseph with everything that he has. And are we slaves of anybody? According to the Bible, Paul opens up most of his letters. Paul, the apostle of Jesus, a bondservant. You know, I am a willing slave of Jesus. Has he given us anything that is supposed to be entrusted into, you know, something of his that's entrusted to our care? Of course, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And truly reflecting what he believes and what he says and what he thinks because of what we know from the Bible, we're his ambassador too. We're supposed to be into the world telling the world about who God is accurately. He doesn't want to be lied about. You know, the big news this week was they have a videotape of Trump firing one of the ambassadors to Ukraine. As if that's supposed to be a big deal. Because she's saying, I hate Trump, I hate his policies, I think that he's wrong about everything about Ukraine. And then that gets to Trump, and he's supposed to say, oh, she's a wonderful ambassador. You know, he says, fire her, get rid of her. You know, that's what you do. I mean, if you're an ambassador, you're supposed to be, your mission is to forget about what you think. You are to think the way your master thinks, so that you can properly represent that master, whether you like him or not, disagree with him or not. But in our case, we can't even be his ambassador until we end up loving him, until we realize he's right. We can't. See, the whole thing is, if I'm a true Christian, I don't disagree with God publicly. I agree with him. I'm his ambassador. I'm his servant. And I want to invest the gospel of Jesus Christ in this world, whether they like it or not. Because most people have been deceived to hate the God that we serve. So 1 Corinthians 9:16, you know, this is Paul as a bondservant of Jesus, as an ambassador for Christ. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of. For necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. Gospel means good news. What is the good news? That we're lost in sin, we're on our way to hell, unless we get a cure for the sin that is running through our spiritual veins. What is the only cure for that sin? Faith in Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross to take it from me, and I have to turn away from my own wicked ways. And then once I do that, God's mercy and grace is upon me, and something really changes inside when I humbly come to him and say, God, forgive me. I have been living my own life for myself. I have been making my own laws, my own, what I consider right and wrong instead of what do you do? I want to stop doing that and let you be the Lord of my life. That is the gospel. That's what Paul preached through his whole life and the other apostles of the New Testament. If I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me because I'm a servant of my master. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, if I willingly want to do it because I love my master, I have a reward. But even if it's against, but if against my will, meaning even if I didn't want to, I have been entrusted with a stewardship, just like Joseph was made a steward of Potiphar. So we stay true to this gospel of Jesus Christ. Otherwise, we're rebelling against our master. And if Joseph would have rebelled against Potiphar in any way, he wouldn't have excelled in his house. He wouldn't have been given everything. I want to receive everything from God, wouldn't you? Don't you want to be found by him? Well done, my good and faithful servant. You've kept true to the gospel of Jesus Christ while you're here on earth. Wouldn't that be nice? So he was Potiphar's servant, and he was serving Potiphar, which in a sense is serving Pharaoh too, because he's Potiphar's thing. But so, all that to say, this last week I was listening to somebody sharing the gospel with some people, talking to some people, actually a mixed group of people. There was a guy who was professing to be saved that asked a question, and then this guy was saying, he was saying to this group that certainly not all of them were saved. There was a small group, actually, 20 people. And, hey, you're all saved. The power of God's going to come upon you, blah, blah, blah. And see, that's the teaching of the New Apostolic Reformation, that you can confess a reality over people. And then there was a break before he went to go talk to some other people. I said, you can't say that. How do you know all these people are saved? No, that's up to God. But I can just proclaim it. And then I realized, we had a longer conversation. I just go, oh, man. And I grieve while I was waiting for him to talk the other, for the next half hour, something was happening. I was grieving. I got to talk to him. I got to tell him, we got to stick with the true gospel. And how am I going to share that with him and all this other stuff? And I was thinking, how terrible it is that there's so many false doctrines running around in the church today by these so-called new apostolic reformation. These new apostles that are coming that, as heaven above, so on earth beneath. And if you're tuned in with them and their ministries, then you become heaven on earth to proclaim truths, and your words can now create reality, which is occultism. It's witchcraft. People have to decide whether they're going to get saved or not. So anyway, praise Jesus, while we're walking out of this group, he sits there, Kevin, I don't want to ever share anything that's unbiblical. Let's talk about this. Praise Jesus. And then we got to have a chance to talk. I said, we can't do this. This is the God. We have to be entrusted with what the truth is. We can't just proclaim things that are not true. And he seemed to receive that. Maybe he was shaking. I know he's being taught by this group. And I think he just shook the cobwebs loose and went, what am I doing? I hope so. And so it's a simple gospel, isn't it? You're either saved or you're not. You're either going to heaven or you're going to hell. There's no in between. There's no purgatory in between. There's nothing. And it's the only way to get saved from going from hell to heaven is through faith in Jesus Christ, who ascended into the earth to save man, not to condemn man, because we're condemned already. God so loved us that he did. It's very simple. And yet it's so confused by false teaching. So going back to verse 4. So Joseph found favor in the sight of his servant, and he made him overseer of his house and all that he had under his authority. So it was from the time that he made him overseer of his house that all he had was blessed by the Egyptian house at Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. It is the Lord that can bless your efforts. And I've seen it happen many times. If you are a believer in Jesus, you're in love with God and you're trusting in Him, God miraculously can bless your efforts in the workplace, in your home, to bring peace. And it's not surprising that it would be the case, because God so loves us. Everything He's told us to do, tell the truth on the job. If you're going to work eight, work eight. If you're going to say you work eight, work eight. All these other things that the Lord would tell us, you know, I want you to do that because that's honesty and integrity. Well, see, if you do that, you're a freak. You know, but your boss is going to appreciate it because you're working, and God will give you even greater wisdom. And I've seen, just like Joseph excelled, he blessed the Egyptian house, that God will cause you to be blessed. In fact, Proverbs 22:29, there in your notes, it says, do you see a man who excels in his work? He will stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. So Joseph called out to God for wisdom. God gave him wisdom. He was able to excel in everything that he did. And he recognized, 1 Corinthians 4:7 says that we need to realize that all glory to God, right? When you do get a gift from God on something in the workplace or whatever else is excelling, it's not your wisdom, it's not you, it's God has given you the ability, and it's all praise to Him. Verse 6, thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. And it came to pass, verse 7, that after these things, that his master's wife, Potiphar's wife, cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, lie with me. So here we have the case. You know, usually we hear about it, most of the tragedies of in the world today, maybe in your life, has been the guys lusting and trying to take advantage of the women. But in this case, the devil wants to get Joseph. And the devil uses somebody that's in the Egyptian culture, Canaanite culture in a sense, because they are descended from Ham. The people of the Egyptians were descendants from Ham. Ham's son was Canaan. Living in immorality and saying, hey, you know, you're good looking. You've been working for my husband and we're here and I want to lay with you. Lust of the eyes. Lust of the flesh. Unrestrained by a fear of God. Serving the devil. And actually, have you ever known anybody to have this kind of a situation come up in their life? And by the way, all porn is equivalent to it. How many people have seen that or happened? You know, every hand here would go up. Porn is, in a sense, it's the same thing. Whether it's porn that women are getting into, which they do, or men get into, they do. It's inspired by the devil, Satan, to cause people that are either trafficked in it or trafficking in it, doesn't matter, that are just calling out to your soul saying, destroy your witness and come and be with me. Destroy your life and come and be with me. We're going to look, you know, answer the question later, what would have happened had he actually done so. What's the only thing that's going to keep you from doing it? Fear of God, love for God. You can read, you put in your notes, Proverbs chapter 7 is a good parallel passage. Verse 8, what does he do? But he refused and said to his master's wife, look, my master does not know what is with me in the house. He doesn't keep track. Okay, what do you got in your possession right now? He's given me everything. He has complete faith in me of all that he owns. And he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I. Nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Who she cares nothing about, because she's an Egyptian. But he cares about, because he's a Jew. He's the witness people. And he knows from what Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob have passed down, the law of Moses about adultery isn't even written. It's hundreds of years into the future. But already God has spoken to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and the sons. This is what God, the God of heaven above who created us, has created for us. Now, so what is it that caused him to not? His relationship with God. And seeing it for what it is. This great wickedness. Now, I know it's from, I know that if I were to partake in this, he was probably just a man just like everybody else. His flesh was probably going, man, that'd be fun. That likelihood she was a good looking woman, being Potiphar's wife, who would have been able to get the cream of the crop wife too. Probably good looking. Probably everything in his flesh is saying, yes, but that is a trap. And it's from Satan. It's not from God. And it would be wicked for me to do that. And so he was able to use the fear of God and his love for God to keep him from falling into sin. And, you know, I love the grace of God, don't you? The grace of God is awesome. It's like you get unmerited favor. You get something you don't deserve. We get to be forgiven. We don't deserve it. We get to go to heaven. We don't deserve that. When temptation comes my way, I don't want to think anything about the grace of God. Because I want to know the fear of God. Because it's the fear of God that keeps us from temptation. The grace of, if you just concentrate, oh, God's so loving. He died on the cross for my sins. So why not sin? That's what grace will deceive you into doing. Why not sin because of the grace of God? God doesn't want us to think that way. And even Paul made that clear in the book of Romans. He said, some people say, why not just go sin so that grace may abound? You know, how can you do that? You've now died to sin. You're living for God. So the fear of God is what I want to remember. I fear that I would lose my witness and people would then reject Jesus because of my corruption in my life. I fear that I would what I would do to my family. I fear what I would do to other people. And it's actually the love of other people that would keep me. See, his love for Potiphar is going to restrain him from doing that, right? His love for his family's name is going to do it. We have a family name too, God. You know, I'm a child of God. And that's what I advertise in the world. And I have a fear of what I would do to that name. Consequence of being wicked. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. Now we know he was sold into slavery. He was sold about when he was 17. We find out that he stands before Pharaoh years later, when he's 30. So he was 13 years in slavery. He was 2 years in the dungeon, in the jail. So he's about 11 years, possibly, he's in Potiphar's house. And that, can you imagine? Even if it was a few weeks, it would be difficult, wouldn't it? We have a office, we have a little pond in our office, and last few years, this mallard pair comes, you know, female, male mallards come to the office. And they, I love it when they stick around, they have their little ducks, and they walk down the road. One time I'm driving down the driveway, I have to wait as they procession across the little driveway there. And so they're kind of like my pet ducks. And so this year, I was talking to my son, he was going, yeah, if you give them cracked corn, they'll really like that. And I go, oh, so I got a 50-pound bag of cracked corn. Praise Jesus, I could actually carry that from the truck into the, you know, again, getting better with my paralysis. I go, man, I don't know if I can pick up this bag. But I could. And so now, I spread it out by the pond. We're up to 7 ducks. So I don't know how that's going to work. I might have to do 50 pounds a day by the time the whole flock of Kitsap County comes and shows up. But it's interesting because at first I thought, well, I'll just put it in the tray so they don't have to pick it out of the water or out of the grass and just put it in the tray there and they'll just come up. But they didn't want to come because it's on land, because it's dangerous. You know, their safety is in the pond where there's overgrowth and stuff if something comes. And so then I looked out and I go, oh, they actually came up on the grass. They couldn't take it anymore. They knew the food was right out there, and they finally would sit there and they'd swim, they'd look at it, and then they'd turn away. No, it's unnatural. No, it shouldn't be this way. It shouldn't be so easy. It could get me in trouble. But then as soon as they keep looking at it, then they get there and they go on the ground, which I'm saying, okay, I don't want them to get eaten by a coyote or something that's waiting for them. And so I'm putting it out into the water so they can stay safe. But, cause I want to be a good guy instead of a bad guy. But if I'm a bad guy like Satan, I'm just going to do that until I have seven of them, and then I'm going to just kill them all. And that's what Satan does. He'll give you something unnatural. This is not natural. What is natural? Husband and wife, forsaking all others, cleaving only unto them, as long as they both shall live. Staying away from the stuff that's on the screens. That's unnatural. The stuff that's in the world is unnatural. Stay away from it, because Satan has put it there. He's just like me with those ducks. He's doing it, different motivation. I'm trying to help him. But Satan's not trying to help you. He's trying to lure you in to kill you. And I've seen it kill many, many a saint every day. I would say it's impossible for Joseph to resist except for an extreme fear of God and a love for God and man. Extreme. And that's what we need, isn't it, in this day and age? We have to have extreme love of God, extreme fear, and extreme love for people. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, "Lie with me." But he left his garment in her hand and fled and ran outside. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 6:18. Because Joseph does exactly what the Bible says for us to do. Flee. He flees. Again, you just can't even imagine somebody holding up under this pressure, but he does. He says, "I'm out of here." And she grabbed his coat as he's running away. Now, we're going to find out that his doing, being obedient to God, actually gets him thrown into jail. And so from the short run, I can imagine Joseph saying, "Okay, God, I feared you. I did what you told me to do. I loved Potiphar. I even loved Potiphar's wife, to not corrupt her. I love you. I love them. And look at what happened to me. I'm sitting here in a dungeon in jail." We don't see him get bitter about it. He just trusts God. In the short run, obeying God brought hardship to his life. In the long run, it saves Jew and Gentile by the millions. And so we have to understand, Satan is all about the here and right now. Pamper the flesh, pamper the lust of the eyes, pamper the lust of the flesh. You'll enjoy it. It'll be better. It'll be great. And then, so temporarily, there's the temporary pleasures of sin, the book of Hebrews says. But then it ends up long-term death, destruction, misery. And we have to think long-term what it does and not worry about the short-term pampering of the flesh. So, 1 Corinthians 6:18, flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit? He's talking to Christians who are being tempted into the immoral lifestyle of the Corinthians. That your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought at a price. Who bought us? Jesus. What was the price? His shed blood on the cross. Therefore, glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. So, the Bible says, warns us, bad things will happen to your body. Well, what are those? I mean, diseases, problems that come in life, death. James, turning to James, it says, "So how do I glorify God in my body?" It says in James chapter 4, verse 7, "Therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." So I've got to resist the devil. The devil is behind the tantalizations of the flesh. The devil is the one that has given us the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. He's the one that's trying to deceive us away from the safety of being in God's protection. And then Galatians 5:13, and your notes too, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. We are now no longer saved by because we do all the do's and don't do all the don'ts, because we still can't. But God forgives us, and that liberty that we have to not be judged by His law, which condemns everybody because we're all sinners. Don't use the liberty. Do not use the liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So how do we resist the devil in this area? Galatians says by love. Again, Joseph had love for Potiphar. Joseph had love for his wife, for Potiphar's wife. He had love for God. How do we resist temptations is to have love. And in the porn world, and again, everybody knows it's such a curse in the church today, and in the world today, is that it's not loving to support something that has really caused men and women and children, boys and girls all over the country, as I've said so many times, and people that have been here for a while are going to say, Kevin, you say this all the time. No, every time in the Bible it keeps coming up. Because throughout the Bible, it's sexual immorality that is Satan's main tool, and it destroys so often in the Bible. If you're going to go through the Bible, this is going to come up all the time. And I'm not loving those boys and girls and men and women that have been deceived into the trafficking and deceived into this industry. It's not loving to support that. And it's certainly not loving to, if you're single, it's not loving to your future husband, your future wife. If you're married, it's not loving to your wife or to your husband. It's a deception from Satan to destroy you. And we would learn from Joseph, if we let his account burn in our hearts, it's possible to turn away. And it says in the Bible that there's no temptation taken us but such as is common to man. But God always allows an opportunity to escape. And so if you've been snagged in any way in the past, some of you might have been snagged in a way that there's nothing you can do about the past except for this: thank you, Jesus, that you forgave my past. Thank you that I have not been listening to you and loving you and loving other people in this area, but God, by the grace of God and your mercy and the fear of you, the true, good, godly fear of you, God, by the power of your Spirit, work in my life to change me. And He'll change you. He will set you free. Again, it's, God has set, He set me free. I lived in the middle of, as I was a Christian in the Navy and just surrounded by porn, even brought it up when I was being interviewed by some officers, and they wanted me to be an officer, and I was an enlisted guy, and I was doing a NESEP interview with the officers, and they're asking me different questions about world politics and everything, and then it came up. I asked, because it was about authority and obeying orders that given by others. And I said, well, how come, this is back in 75 or 6, how come the squadron commander puts out an order that all porn has to be taken off of the ships, and yet I walk down, I have to continue to be subjected to all this stuff that's on people's lockers? Why does that happen? Yeah. I don't know that you like that answer or question, but... So I've been surrounded by it, but what it is that God sets me free, here's what really sets me free, is I get to hear all the stories of all the disasters. That really is what it is. I've heard dozens, hundreds of stories. And so then somebody else's incident report becomes in my brain, no, can't go there. And it's also because I don't want to lose my witness. And even by saying this, I know that temptations, Satan's going to ramp it up. So pray. See, it says, he who thinks he stands, take heed lest he fall. And I'm not saying I'm standing because of Kevin's prowess. I'm using the fear of God, which I need to maintain every day of my life until I get taken home. I'm going to have to keep the fear of God in order to stay set free from this curse that is in our society. Going back to Genesis 39:12. That she caught him by the garment, saying, lie with me. But he left his garments in her hand and fled and ran outside. And so it was, when she saw that he had left his garments in her hand and fled outside, that she called to the men of her house and spoke to them, saying, "See, he has brought into us a Hebrew. My husband, Potiphar, has brought into us a Hebrew, a Christian, to mock us. He came in to me to lie with me. He was going to rape me." And I cried out with a loud voice. So much for lie with me. I love you. You know, this is, and we have to understand this. When Satan is trying to tempt you, he is doing so to kill you. There is no real love, compassion there. Entices you today, destroys you later. And we see the same type of thing in 2 Samuel chapter 13, where one of the sons of David, Amnon, he lusted after his half-sister Tamar, and was just, he couldn't even eat. He was losing weight because I want to fulfill my lust with my half-sister. And then he ends up raping her. And as soon as he does, he then hates her. It goes on to say, "Then Amnon hated her exceedingly, so that the hatred with which he hated her was greater than the love with which he had loved her. And Amnon said to her, 'Get out of here.'" So what happened there? Because of that, there was the death of Amnon. See, that resulted in his death. It resulted in civil war. It resulted in David's own son, if you read the whole account that goes on from there, it results in David's own son, Absalom, who was Tamar's brother. It results in Absalom wanting to kill his own father, David, and for causing civil war in the country that led to the death of tens of thousands of Jews. And it really started right here, in this rape of his half-sister. Verse 15, again of Genesis. "And it happened, when he heard, that I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment." You know, when I said, "Oh, get out of here, you're trying to rape me." "Then he left his garment with me and fled and went outside. So she kept his garment with her until her master, Potiphar, came home. Then she spoke to him with words like these, saying, 'The Hebrew servant whom you brought to us came into me to mock me. So it happened, as I lifted my voice and cried out, that he left his garment with me and fled outside.'" The hatred of godless people. Absolutely no conscience about lying to the destruction of other people's lives. A lot of those godless people are in our House and Congress, the Congress and the House and the politicians around the country. It's just unbelievable to me watching the shenanigans and realizing the absolute blatant lies to try and destroy people, country, our foundations and everything else. And I grieve. sent the elders an article that was too long to even put out. And it just, everything that happened in Ukraine and the Bidens and everything else and all the treason, all the corruption that's being attempted to be covered up through this whole shenanigans of what's going on. And I realized how our country is hanging by a little thread. It's just hanging by a little thread of maintaining the civility and the foundation that has blessed our country for so many decades is about to be lost because people in the country are now godless. They don't care. We've got half of the country that has no moral compass associated with fearing God, about telling the truth and about honesty, integrity, about not being treasonous. And I'm glad, I'm just green carded here. I'm glad my citizenship is in heaven. I'm glad Jesus, where righteousness dwells, is going to come down and take us home to be where we will be with him forever and ever and ever. Otherwise, it would be depressing. And so verse 19, "So it was when his master heard the words which his wife spoke to him, saying, 'Your servant did to me after this manner,' that his anger was aroused. Then Joseph's master took him and put him in the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in the prison." Mistreated by his brothers before they sold him into slavery. Mistreated by his brothers when they wanted to kill him. Mistreated when they did sell him into slavery. Mistreated now in the house of Potiphar by his wife, that he was loving Potiphar, loving his wife, and he gets in trouble, gets thrown into prison. And we don't know that he said, "Potiphar, Potiphar, You know, it didn't go down this way. Maybe he, like a sheep before his shears is dumb, opened not his mouth, possibly, and allowed himself to be falsely accused for the love of Potiphar's wife. Amazing. Amazing to me. So, applying this before we get into the next verse, because we then go to the jail. Let us see this lust-filled world for what it is. Shouldn't we? Not let in our house in any forms of media. Would that be a good plan? No media that comes into my house, my phone, my anything, is going to have somebody else unclothed. That would be a nice little object lesson for the study today, wouldn't it? And to have our eyes only for wives or single people, your future wife or your future husband, because it will go so much better for you. It will be so much better for you if that were to be the case. And no living in condemnation. Get right with Jesus and say, God, again, forgive me for those times I have not. And when you get tempted, thank you, Jesus, that you can set me free from this, because there is nothing that makes you have to. Nothing. She couldn't make Joseph do it. And you might have to flee. You might have to get out. But that would be better than to be snagged and bagged and tagged. And so, verse 21. And actually, keep in your mind the consequences of sin, which can be deadly. In fact, what would have happened if he would have said yes? Okay, just once, let's do a fling. You know, I can't take your pressure anymore. What would have happened? Well, again, it's Satan. She would have ultimately turned him in. Would he have been thrown into jail then? No. He would have been killed. And so if he would have been killed because he would have gone, if he would have gone along with it, he would have died. And if he would have died, then what we're going to be reading in the ensuing chapters about how God mightily uses him in front of Pharaoh and saves all the Egyptians and all the Jews. I mean, that wouldn't have happened. Do you realize so much is at stake by giving in to the world for even, you deserve a break today, deception in the mind. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, verse 21. And he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did there, it was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him. And whatever he did, the Lord made it prosper, because he was honest. He had integrity. He had compassion for the people that were in jail. And the leader of the jail kept on giving him stuff again, just like Potiphar had. And he's giving it to him and giving it to him. And he goes, wow, I can go golfing all day. I don't even have to care about the jail. But he's still in prison. And he's suffering. And I bet you it wasn't like our prisons. I bet you it was tough. You know, lack of food, lack of good food, eating maggot crawling food, everything. I mean, you in America, you know, I know how it is in our jails. And you go to third world countries and the families have to provide for them to keep them from starving. It is unbelievable. In a regular third country world, jail is death. And I'm assuming, probably properly, that it was not a happy experience in the jail, but he does not get bitter. Verse 1 of chapter 40, and it came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt, and Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison in the place where Joseph was confined. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. So he's serving the butler and the baker. He's the one, okay, Joseph, here's the pile of slop, and I want you to go feed all the prisoners. And Joseph is giving to each one of the prisoners, serving them, because he had been entrusted with the care of the prisoners. So they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker and the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them. Each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with its own interpretation. And Joseph came in to them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of the Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? Now, isn't that interesting? You know, again, if you love God, then you're going to love people. And if you love people, you have compassion about people. Instead of being bitter and just slopping them and, you know, hey, I don't even deserve to be here. You know, I was lied about by Potiphar's wife and I'm just here and I was sold into slavery by my brothers. And, you know, I'm going to be bitter about life. No. How are you doing? Man, what's wrong? You're sad. Somebody was telling me this week, they were at the store. And they were just humming along because they're joyful. Because aren't we joyful in the Lord Jesus? You know? Again, look at all the stuff going on in the world. And this one guy said to her, boy, you're refreshing. And why? I mean, you're humming along. Everybody's depressed these days. You're just humming along. That should be our attitude. We should be a joy and have compassion on people and look at people that are grieving and are down and out and to just come alongside of them and minister to me. He says, you look sad today. What's wrong? And they said to him, we each have had a dream and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. He's in such a relationship with God. He knows he can give them the interpretation. Oh, God can interpret dreams. Now, how many of you feel like you have 100%, you know, ability to interpret dreams by God? Not me. I had some wild dreams. I had one this morning. I was helping Brandon and Heather wire their house. Well, you know, I'm sitting there. I woke up thinking about dreams. I go, are you trying to tell me it's too late because they're putting final touches on, about to move in, and I should have been wired? Yeah. We don't know what our dreams are about. But he did. And who's another person in the Bible that did? Absolute 100%. Daniel. What do we know about Daniel and Joseph? Total devotion, love for God, complete love and compassion and serving him without compromise. So we're all a bunch of compromising, lack of love people, because otherwise you'd be able to interpret dreams. But if you strive to be a dream interpreter, then we should strive to be like Daniel, to be like Joseph. Then the chief butler told, verse 9, his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine there were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. You know, I served him a drink again. I personally, as the butler, served him his drink by pressing the grapes in and giving him grape juice. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head, meaning, you know, get you out of jail and say, hey, don't be so sad. Lift up your head and restore you to your place. And you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. Now, we know that this is it. If you just were to give me the dream, there'd be no way to interpret that. It's God. God can interpret dreams. And there might be a time you have a dream that God truly wants you to interpret and just cry out to him for it and seek what he's saying. And then he says in verse 14, but remember me. You know, you're getting out of jail in 3 days. And when you get out there and you're serving Pharaoh his fresh squeezed grape juice, just tell him, you know, I had this dream and there's a guy that we've got locked up down there in the jail. He really took care of us every day. He cared about us, asked about us how we were doing and gave us our slop and all this stuff. And he told me this exact thing was going to happen. Could you please tell him when you get out of here? He doesn't. And please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh and get me out of this house. It was not a pleasant place to be. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here in Egypt, he's saying, that they should put me into the dungeon. I have done nothing, and yet my life has been trashed for 13 years. When the chief, or 11 years at this point, when the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat your flesh from you. You know, he started by saying, oh, why are you so sad? You know, the first guy, it's like, oh, no reason for you to be sad. And then the second guy goes, oh, yeah, you have a reason to be sad. You got 3 days to live and you're going to die. Now, it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler to bring him back into his presence, and of the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand, but he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. And again, reading between the lines, 3 days after Joseph interprets a dream for these two guys, all of a sudden somebody comes down, some officer of Pharaoh comes down and goes, hey, butler, baker, out of here. Pharaoh wants to talk to you. And Joseph could have said, hey, just like I told you, you know, good for you, bad for you. You know, the one good for you, since you're going to stay alive, remember me and help get me out of here. And then the days go by, go by, go by, go by. Another reason to what? Be bitter. To be hateful. I cared about those guys. I interpreted their dream. I told him he was going to live. He was so sad. He didn't know what was going to go on. And he forgot me. Forget these prisoners. Forget these people. Forget, as some people say, blame God. Forget God. Because my life isn't going the way I thought it would when I gave my life to him. Well, then you fakely gave your life to God, if that's how you feel. Because when we give our life to God, we know this life is so short. And we know he gave us everlasting life with Jesus, and nothing else matters. People think that God is some kind of genie, just make their life better. And there's false teachers that say that, that deceive people into that way of thinking, and it causes their faith to go away, and they're lost. We'll stop there and pick it up from there, because this is where the account, the historical account, really becomes amazing, because Joseph was faithful, because Joseph didn't get bitter, because Joseph stayed true to God and kept his witness, we're going to see next week that all of a sudden God does another miracle and puts a dream into Pharaoh's head, and he's troubled by the dream, and now the butler remembers. Oh, I forgot to tell you something, Pharaoh. I just forgot about it till just now. There's this guy down in the dungeon. He can help you out. And from there on, Egypt gets saved. The Jews get saved. You have no idea how your love for Jesus, growing contempt for the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, deceptions of Satan, because that's what we're supposed to have, is contempt for those. How much your love for Jesus, contempt for the world, you don't know how it's going to work out, how God is going to be able to use that in your life. And so let's double down in this lust-filled world, wouldn't you say? And just stay true to God no matter what happens. And, you know, I mean, there was a guy, he's going to jail because I think it's in Europe, might have been Canada, because in his job he said there's just, I think it was a professor. He said, there's just boys and girls. He's getting put in jail for that. This country is going crazy. There's an article over there about New Jersey that sex education is down, you know, everything LGBTQ forced upon all these kids starting in grade school. And what are we going to do? And so it's like doing what's good and telling people the truth on these kind of issues in our corrupted society might get you thrown in the dungeon. And you could get bitter and you could get all this other stuff, but just say, God, I'm just going to trust you. And that trust, instead of getting released because Pharaoh needs his dream interpreted, I think you're going to get released when the rapture calls us all home, because the world has gotten so disgusted with us that Jesus says, okay, fine, you don't want them? Fine, I'll take them. And we're going to be out of here. And that'll be okay. But when he comes to take us, let's be found serving him. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray Oh, God, that you would help. And I pray for all the souls here in this room today that they would be able to totally embrace your grace, God, because you do forgive us for our failures. And also your mercy to not give us what we do deserve, which is to be separated from you. And you give us grace to give us the promise of heaven and being able to be saved. But God, help us also to see the spiritual battle that we're in, where the devil wants to deceive us away from the truth and a joyful life with you, and how we can just, by the fear of God, stay unstained from the lusts of this world that so easily destroy. We thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand and worship God in this song.
When I can see you, I know you're here, and I can feel you. I will not fear, I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid. And when the battle is close at hand, and you are with me to help me stand, I will trust in you, and I will not be afraid.
I will not
be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
I will trust in you. And when the darkness is closing in and I am running against the wind, I will trust in you and I will not be afraid. 'Cause when I'm standing upon the shore and all the battles have gone before, I will trust in you and I will not be afraid.
I will not be afraid.
I will trust in you.
Jesus.
I will trust in you.
Jesus.
I will trust in you.
And just like the man who says, God, I trust in you, help my lack of trust. I believe in you, help my lack of belief. God is so good to us, and may His Holy Spirit burn bright in our hearts as we serve Him until He comes. God bless you, keep you in His care until we can fellowship again. Hope to see you tonight as we fellowship and get discipled to share with our Mormon friends and family. God bless.